Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, find the 10th verse, reading from the New King James. Would you stand with me, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. Let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now therefore, verse 12, now therefore, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear for the day. The what? The day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he's built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Let's read verse 16, the final verse. Do you not know that you are the temples of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Father, I thank you for visiting me last night and for the word that you have burned in my heart. I need your help to communicate. So anoint these lips of clay once again. And then the next 20 plus minutes, may we be greatly impacted by your word, which is truth. Your word is like a fire. Your word is like a hammer. Loose your word this morning that we'd be forever changed. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Again, in a series on awakening, the Great Awakening, America, the next Great Awakening, because I believe that America is headed for another Great Awakening. And we've defined that. It's not just a series of revival meetings that last for a week, or a summer camp meeting, as much as I love those and will participate and hold them and have them and rejoice in all that God does. An awakening is very different. Awakening impacts a whole region. And somebody said to me, I think Alaska's coming under a great awakening, and may that be so. One thing for sure, statistics show that there's more people serving God in America now than have been in future generations, and there's a skyrocket on a graph going straight up of people that are coming to Jesus. There are revival tent meetings all across the Midwest right now. God's pouring out his spirit in the White House. He is pouring out his spirit in the White House. I believe he wants to pour out his spirit in every house. And he's certainly pouring out his spirit here. We talked about the first great awakening, second great awakening, third great awakening. I'm believing for the fourth great awakening. And our nation was founded on the bedrock of the principles of God's word, which you've heard me preach and teach on before. Those founding fathers were impacted by Jonathan Edwards and Whitfield and others who were powerful preachers. Extemporaneous preaching that took place in the 1730s and 1740s. There really is no other nation like ours on the face of the earth. It is an incredible country, and it's riddled with problems and trials and difficulties. And so I've been preaching along those lines, and one of the main things I see is bitterness in the hearts of so many people, even this week. And I've preached a message just recently. I had more comments on the message I preached on canceling Cain's way than nearly any message I've ever preached in my life. And I had people say, that was the best message you ever, but I don't know what you would conclude to be the best message or whatever, but God's word is great, as my wife says. So when God's word goes forth, it doesn't return void. Can I get it? Amen. And his word is what? His word is great. The passage I've chosen this morning to preach to you in the conclusion has deeply affected me, as it was pretty much preached to me all night. In your notes, and we've given those to you so that you could commit this to memory and teach it and preach it to somebody else. Dr. Morocco's dream that he had, actually, it's a dream or a vision, but we don't know which one because he can't remember which one it is. A vision is when you're awake. A dream is when you're sleeping. Bump your neighbor. Make sure he's not sleeping right now. Okay, or she. And the dream that he had is he comes before the throne of God, and he's before the throne, and it's the day. It's the day of judgment. It's the day of evaluation. It's the Bema seat. It's the judgment seat of Christ, or the judgment seat of the believers, which we'll look at in just a moment. And he's there before the Lord, and the Lord says to him, what happened? Dr. Morocco answered and said, I didn't have the money. I didn't have the people. I didn't have the ability to do what you called me to do. And the Lord says in answer, oh, son, didn't you know I'd help you if you only tried? He wakes up from that, or comes out of that vision, and says, oh, I'm going to try. If you were to define King's Cathedral and Chapels from its inception back in 1980, that would define who we are. We try. We believe and try and press and contend. And God has, in his infinite mercy and wisdom and grace, have allowed us to be now over 900 extensions around the world. This is just one. And I'm so grateful to be a part of it for this going on 30 years now. I've been a part of the church for over 30 years. Pastoring almost 30. A number of years ago, I think it's 4 or 5 years ago, I was down in the fishing grounds, and I had a very terrifying, sobering moment with the Lord. And I had a dream that repeated. In the dream, I'm standing in the earth, and I can see the population of man. I can see the nations. I can see all of mankind. And I know that the end is a moment away. It's over. I remember standing there going, oh God. And I literally laid hands on myself, and I just said, Lord, are we good? And I felt like, I'm good. And he spoke to me to take care of something. You know, it was a dream. And in that moment, the next moment, I took care of that, and then I'm back. And I see from the east a bright, shining light that just covers over the earth. Gone. Then what was that? I don't know. Except I believe it was the end as we know it. And in that moment, I was in heaven. I was in heaven, and it was this unusual experience of seeing all of the people in heaven, multitudes, and assignments being given out for the millennial reign. Now, everything I'm telling you is absolutely biblical, because in the end, and I've said it, hopefully it's humorous to you, it's humorous to me, in the end of the millennial reign, you're not going to be playing a harp, flying around with some golden wings and a diaper. That's not what's happening. The millennial reign. And in that dream, the Lord spoke to me and said, the end is the beginning. You see, the end of this life, when this is over, it's really just the beginning. Salvation is by faith. But rewards and crowns are based on what you do. In other words, But I don't like that so much. But in other words, you're saved by grace. It's not of yourselves. Come on, somebody say amen. Okay, you're judged by what you do. I don't think I like that so much. It puts some responsibility on us to do something with our time, our talent, our treasure. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the discussion, listen closely, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, number one, and faith towards God, number two, of the doctrine of, take your Bibles, let me see your Bible, hold your Bible up. Anybody got a Bible or an electronic device? All right, Hebrews 6, you need to see this, go there. When I pause, it's your clue to give the blank. Therefore, leaving the discussion, Hebrews 6 and verse 1, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. We have an elementary school, the King's Christian School, Alaska. We'll progress and move on into our new facility. By the grace of God, a lot of things coming together, and we're thankful for that. How many of you are praying for the school? Not enough. Would you commit to praying for the school? It is a school that's redefining education. The report of our school has been heard across the nation in different streams, and God is pouring out His Spirit in the King's Christian School, Alaska, and I'm telling you, you need to pray more. There's a lot of things that have to happen and come together. We just jumped into a facility that's 43,000 square feet. It's amazing. Come on, somebody say it's amazing. It's amazing, and it's fraught with all kinds of challenges of which we're overcoming. Would you pray this week? That's still not enough. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Any of you here lying, and then just repent afterwards. All right. Elementary school. Headmaster Susie, what do we learn in elementary school? Arithmetic, reading, writing. This is elementary school for the believer. And yet, there's many people that have no idea on what the elementary teachings in Christ are. And what's amazing to me is one of the elementary things is eternal judgment. Baptism. We'll have a tank tonight. If you haven't been baptized, quit sinning and get baptized if you're born again. If you're not born again, it's different. I've had people come and say they came with all their kids in tow, teenagers. I'll never forget it. All the teenagers are there, the younger ones as well, sitting in a baptism class. The father had given his life to Jesus. He wants to get baptized. Praise the Lord. And then all his kids are there, which we had never met before. Teenagers have their arms folded. They didn't text so much back then because I think they would have been going like this now. But the father said, yes, I'm getting baptized and all of my children. I said, oh, well, have your children received the Lord? Do they believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah, no, they're good. They're going to get baptized. I said, no. Hold on a second. And I looked at one of the older ones. I said, do you believe in Jesus? He goes, he didn't say much. And I'm like, problem. We don't just do baptisms because that's something you just do. We don't just do stuff. It is a biblical reality. It's an elementary teaching. Baptism tonight. And if you haven't been baptized and you're born again, now if you're not born again, I'm going to remedy that by the grace of God by the end of the message. Got to get baptized. Eternal resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. Let me move quickly now. There are five future eternal judgments. Some things that it's a day of reckoning. Yeah, there's a day of reckoning. There's five different future eternal judgments. This is eschatology. Now, don't drown in what I'm about to preach and teach to you. It's not taught. It's not preached all that often. Most churches are having a TED Talk I'm not into TED Talks. I'm into the Word of God because it's a Word that will change you. His Word goes forth and it doesn't return void. And if you can get this down in the seat of your soul to understand an elementary teaching, an element arithmetic, it's Christian arithmetic, basic. Everybody bump your neighbor and say, it's basic. And yet many people don't know it. So how is this possibly even a part of the series on America, the Next Great Awakening? Because America's made of families, I said it to you. Families are made of individuals. And if you, as an individual believer in your family, don't have this right, you won't live right. You will be out of kilter. You'll be a bubble off to all the carpenters. You'll be off. Your compass course will be off. I was in a boat just recently. You've got to stay on the compass course. You've got to stay on the waypoint or you're going to miss the place where you're supposed to be. So this is crucial. Five future eternal judgments. The judgment seat of Christ, which I'm going to talk about. It's called the Bema seat or the judgment seat of the believers, right in your notes. Lots of scripture for that. 2 Corinthians 5:10 for you note takers. Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 3, which we read. The second one is a judgment of the Gentile nations found in Matthew 25. I kept hearing this all night last night. All night last night, I kept hearing this verse. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one to another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. I'm telling you, the time is coming where God is going to judge the nations. And our nation is going under the shepherd's rod. Listen, would you allow me? I'm going to preach over the head of some of you. Some of you have been born again and saved for 40 years. Some of you have been pastored for 60 years. You're going to get it. Some of you are or maybe like Brandon. Yeah, that's okay. Go back and listen to it. Study it. I'm going to go from the deep end of the pool to the shallow end as the Lord has given it to me. There is the shepherd's rod. The nations are passing under the shepherd's rod in Ezekiel, and they're being judged. I'm telling you, God is looking at America right now. He's looking at Iran right now. He's looking at Israel right now. He's looking at Russia right now. He's dealing with the pharaohs of the world, and he's going to pour out his spirit. Can you say amen? He's going to pour out his spirit. There is a judgment of the Gentile nations. A judgment of national Israel. For all of you that are all bent on Israel, don't worry about it. God's gonna get it straight. They'll all stand before him and so will you. By the way, if you're not standing for Israel and believing and praying, not that they're all righteous and holy, but you'll miss a biblical mandate from Genesis chapter 12 that those who stand with Israel be blessed. Those who don't stand with them won't be. Another word for that is cursed. Judgment of national Israel, and really it's to bring Israel to repentance and faith in the Messiah. There's a judgment, number four, there's a judgment of the fallen angels, Revelation 20, Isaiah 24, 2 Peter 2, Jude, verse 6, 1 Corinthians 6. There's fallen angels, they're going to be judged. There is a great white throne of judgment found in Isaiah 24, 2 Peter 2. This is the final judgment of the unsaved dead. What do you mean? These are people who have not received Jesus. They're going to stand before him. Has that day happened? It has not. There's a whole section in my notes about rewards, and there's many, many rewards. And crowns. Crown of life. An imperishable crown. A crown of righteousness. Crown of glory. The soul winner's crown. All right, a look at the text that we read. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That is the most important question that anybody can ask you. And when I ask that to people, have you been forgiven? Are you born again? Are you saved? And if they give me a mealy mouth answer with their eyes shooting left or right, I totally move in for the, we could say for the kill, but move in for the life. I hope so. I've been a good man. Wrong answer. Because you know you ain't good. Come on, somebody say, you ain't good. Uh-huh. Again, we're not saved by works, but we are judged by it. You're saved by grace. In Matthew chapter 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. Okay, so you know the Messiah is Jesus. So you've heard about Jesus. You've heard the gospel. Does that mean you're going to heaven? No. What is it that actually allows you to go through the pearly gates? What is it that allows you to be made righteous? What is it? Is it your works? You do have righteous works, but that's not what you can't earn heaven. And in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, listen, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven, many, how many? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Done many wonders in your name? He said, I'll declare to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. They knew the power of the Lord, but they themselves were not committed to the Lord. That ought to give you pause this morning. It ought to give you pause. A look at the judgment of believers in verse 15. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. Write in the notes now. But he himself will be saved as through the fire. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready? So it's not that day. Well, if you're hearing me right now, you're right. It's not that day, but it could be in a few hours or a few minutes. Are you ready for that day? I'm ready on one hand, but on the other hand, now I feel like I just graduated high school. And I want to put some points on the board. Anybody else want to put some points on the board? You got to be prepared for that day. You know, the fact that there's a judgment seat, I've said this before, the fact that there's a place of judgment for us as believers, it makes every second worth living. Every second of your life, every second of my life is valuable. Our works matter. Come on, say our works matter. What you do matters. Come on, somebody, bump your neighbor and say, hey, what you doing? Okay, what you do matters. Our works matter. What we do with our life matters. Our words matter. I heard somebody say, "Oh, I'm so dumb," and then they said, "No, I'm not. I've got the mind of Christ." Good correction. Try not to get the dumb part out. Just correct that. You're not dumb. You're made in God's image. You're made in God's likeness. You're the redeemed of the Lord. You might do foolish things occasionally, but I hope you don't. But our words matter. You can receive word curses over you. I've seen people do it over their children. You're so dumb. Can't you be like your sister? Can't you be like your brother? You're just like your mother's side of the family. And you're an idiot for saying all of that. Because you're cursing your kids. And some of you receive those same curses. You know what? You'll stand before the Lord, as will I, for our words, for our deeds, the things that we've done. What have you done with your life? You say, well, I'm like 17. So, there's 17-year-olds in the Philippines leading churches of 1,000. No matter how old you are. Your deeds, what are you doing? Come on, say, oh God, show me what I'm supposed to do. What is the purpose of your life? What are you doing with your life? Instead of doom scrolling all night. Did you further the kingdom of God? Say, why are you being so intense? I was visited over and over and over and over. I had like a sleepless night with dreams and God's power and dreams and God's power, dreams and God's power. I'm like, Lord, I get it. I go back to sleep again and again and again and again. I'm thinking, I didn't even drink any coffee. Like, what's my problem? And then I realized, oh, you really want me to hammer this thing? He's like, yes, do it. Did you further the kingdom of God? Everything will be tested by fire. Come on, somebody say, everything will be tested by fire. Everything will be tested by fire. Fire purifies. You know, I have a fire pit in my backyard. And I like burning things. Anybody else like burning things? You know, metal doesn't burn too good. Boy, you got to get it real hot. So occasionally, I've got to scoop out some things that might have some metal on it, you know. Clean my fire pit. Don't ever burn plastic, said Pastor Karen. There is an importance of our deeds and our furthering the kingdom. But everything will be tested by fire. Verse 13, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it'll be revealed by fire. Your works will be exposed. My works will be exposed. But what are works? We don't really even use that kind of language anymore. What you did with your life and the real reason you did it, your motives will be seen. Why you do what you do will be seen before God. Your motives will be examined. You're like, I think I need to change. Yes, the point of the message. Amen. You need to change. You're gonna stand before him. I'm going to stand before him. The nations will stand before him. Did you take advantage of God-given time? Did you take advantage of the time that was given you? I wasted so much time in my earlier years. The Lord showed me when we were building this building, in the last year of the building of this building, the Lord said, you're going back to school. I'm like, okay, we'll take a few classes. No, you'll take a full load. So Pastor Karen and I went and took a full load of college classes while building this, and the intensity of causing the church to flourish and grow and leaders and preaching and all of that. And I thought, that's impossible. Like, how is that even possible? And then he reminded me of time when he told me to do my classes, and I felt like a dunce, and he gave me a strategy for doing it. And by a miracle of God, I did 22 classes in 6 months with all A's, except in biblical preaching, I got a D, which is funny to me. I threw the book across the kitchen, because it was the stupidest book I have. They're like, make sure when you're preaching, you put in pithy little statements like a friend in need is a friend indeed. And I thought, stupid! I threw it. And they're like, I just took the test, honestly, without finishing the book. And got a D, but it's okay. I just couldn't do it. Some religious. Anyway. Did you take advantage of the time given you? You know, we're all given 24 hours in a day. It's amazing how some people in 24 hours can do the work of what other people would do in a week. I've watched Headmaster Susie, and I've bragged on you across our network of churches. What Headmaster Susie does in a week, another person does in a month. The intensity of your work ethic is... Why is that? Why is she so intense? Well, I think she's trained herself. You've learned how to do it. I've had people tell me, man, you work hard. I enjoy it. I'm driven by what God called me to do. And I'm driven by the reality of this text. I'm driven by the reality that I'm going to stand before him. So will you. Did you take advantage of the God-given time? Because you'll be judged by what you were given. You know, I'm so thankful. I'm not going to be judged by what was given but to Minister Toby. And you're not going to be judged by what was given to me. You'll be judged by what was given to you. I'll be judged by what was given to me. You know, Wally is one of the most gifted. I mean, Wally Pearson is like a genius to me. And it's just, I don't know, he just knows like a lot about everything. I mean, how many of you know some people like that? Just know a lot about everything. I remember they were putting the steel up, and there was a problem with the front portico, and the steel workers couldn't get the pin in. I think that's what it's called, bolt. And I'm standing there with you, and they're trying to do it like, well, we've been trying, we can't do it. He said, come on down. They come down. Wally at 70 something years old, 75, gets on the scissor lift, just him and a hammer and this fid pin thing he brings up there. Goes up, and he's like, whack! Things like all together. Everybody's like, oh, I mean, it was amazing. He knew. He had lots of experience. It's amazing. I'm not going to be judged by what the gifts and the talents you have. I'm not going to be judged by what you have. Come on, Bentley. Be judged by what you have. I'll be judged by what God has given me. And here's the thing. Here's the thing about that. Some of you don't even know what he can do through you. I love the quote of Dr. Morocco, you can do more than you think you can. And I've found that if I could just be faithful with the little that I have, he makes you ruler over much and he increases your capacity. He'll increase you. So why is that even important? Because you're going to stand before God. Please hear me. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is it. Life. It's an internship. And in the end, you graduate. And then you'll be held accountable to the Bema seat, the judgment seat, and you get rewards. And it's not like you get this big trophy and you get to carry it around. You'd be like, hey, I don't know what you guys did, but I was all that. I don't know what you were, but I am. You know that's right. Oh, did you see my trophy? I've got a bigger trophy than you. No, that's not what it is. Because there's none of that in heaven. It's God's way of saying, well done. And then the other thing, and I kept seeing over and over, and you sang the song, Casting Crowns Before Him. Gives you these rewards, and then you get to lay it at his feet. How does that even work? You'll be judged by what you were given and how well you used it. You'll be judged by what you did, by the opportunities you were given. Now, I don't like that, but on the other hand, I do. There's opportunities coming. When? Today. Opportunity to open your home for a life group. There's opportunity to give. There's an opportunity to serve. There's an opportunity to sing, to dance for the glory of God, to counsel for the glory of God. There's opportunities that God lays before you. And many times I've been so irritated that I've missed opportunity. You know, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Have like a spirit of irritation come on you right before this great opportunity comes? I was so irritated that we showed up here at this property all those years ago with my 10-year-old saying, Dad, we need to go to the old church property. I'm like, I want a nap right now. It was Monday. My hair wasn't standing on end. I'm like, oh, the Holy Ghost. I mean, maybe it's like that for you, but I've found many times, I don't want to make a doctrine out of it, but I mean, many times I've found myself in the flesh when the greatest opportunity and miracle is right in front of me. And I wonder, is that an assignment that maybe the enemy's trying to put on me so I would miss it? Some of you have missed opportunity and you'll stand before the Lord. You know what the good news is? Today is the first day and the rest of your life. Today's the first day, the rest of your life. You don't have to miss any more opportunity. Did you do the will of God? Or did you do it according to the world's view of success? I mean, how successful is it if you have tons of money, your portfolio's massive, and your wife runs away with the milkman? You want to tell me how successful that is? The milk one? There's a dude that used to come. I mean, how successful is it? You have all the accolades and all the resources, and your kids are smoking crack. You want to tell me how successful that is? Well, they chose, you might have something to do with it. And then again, people get to choose. How did you judge others? Why are you preaching this? Because it's elementary school. And if you don't understand it, he said, well, I've heard you preach something along these lines before. Good, thank you. I'm glad you did. Are you living according to the fact that you'll face eternity, judgment? Bump your neighbor and say, oh, this is fantastic. I'm so glad I came to church. Go ahead. How fantastic. How did you judge others? You know, I'm thankful that he saves us. God will save us. And you know, you have a choice. You have a choice. You're not a robot. It doesn't make you do anything. Love is not in a vacuum where he just makes you obey. He could do that, you know, but he didn't. Why? Because that's not what real love is. Real love is choosing to love, choosing to die to yourself, choosing to turn the other cheek, choosing to go the extra mile, choosing to live contrary to your flesh, to the world, to the devil. That's what love is. How do we know what love is? That when man lays down his life for another, if you love me, Jesus said, you'll obey my word. You'll obey my what? My word. So if you want to see where your love meter is, can I just get up in your business right now? Don't crawfish away from me now. You know what that means? I don't know what he's talking about. Just embrace what I'm about to tell you. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. You have a choice. You don't know what they did to me. No, I don't know, but I know what they did to him. They crucified him. You have a choice to live for God or reject him. You have a choice to serve him with all your heart or reject him. You have a choice to get offended or not. I've shared it with you before. I was so offended years ago, and the Lord said, you don't have time for that. I'm like, oh, okay. It's a choice to love him. And you want to know how much you love God? Look at your level of obedience in your life. Oh, I got to say this. There is a performance orientation, which is really religiosity, tries to earn God's love and God's favor by obeying his word. I don't obey his word because I'm trying to get favor. I don't obey his word because I'm trying to get him to love me. I obey his word because he loves me. Oh, he loves me. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. It's all your fault. Something happened. And now I know. I don't think those are the words, but he loves me. I've been endued with his love. Something's happened for me, and I'm not claiming to be perfect, but forgetting that which lies behind, I press on to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If you don't obey God, don't tell me you love him, because it's not true. You're fooling yourself. And on that day, all excuses will fall flat before the Son of God. You stand before them. You might fool people right now with your religious face. You might fool people with the way you talk, or the way you walk, or the way you wave your hand, or you pop your elbows. But on that day, all show will be over. And he will see you. If he sees you now, he sees me now. We have a choice to love him. Worship team. He'll reward us. Man, I got to do a whole series on that. He'll reward us. He's got rewards for you. Well, God is speaking to us very simply as we wrap this up. Final message in America, the next great awakening. God is speaking to us. Come on, lay your hand on your heart and say, God, speak to me. He is. He's speaking to you. Make your life count.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.